All right. Good morning, church. It is so good to see you. My name is Anthony. I've had the privilege of preaching Father's Day. This is the fourth time. So Pastor Josh likes to go on vacation. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. It was actually, four Father's Day days ago now that it was my first Sunday sitting over there at Church on the Rock. I had been working in a restaurant, and we did this big Sunday brunch, and it was every single Sunday, and finally I just said, you know what, I need this day, I'm going to be with my family, and I was offered that opportunity, and my wife and my kids, Catherine and Caroline are up at the front here. Paul's watching from home. What's up, bud? Couldn't get him out of bed. Teenagers. I have a teenager. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that just happened the other day. He's 13 now. But it was just an awesome experience to be able to go and hear Pastor Josh speak and be a part of the service. And then just a few months later, like I said, my wife and my kids were already attending the church, but I wasn't. And then a few months later, around September, I had the ability to come every other Sunday, and then I just felt the calling of God on my life. And that following January, after a number of events that had happened, I was given the opportunity to become the youth pastor for Church on the Rock, and I served in that role for 4 years. It was it's such a huge blessing. Honored that Pastor Josh would ask me to come back and speak again today. I really love being a dad. I love talking to other dads. I love sharing where I'm struggling and learning from dads. And so real quick, before we get into the service, I got a couple things. One, I want to just show my family. So there we are. You all, some of you probably have similar photos. That's our Mother's Day booth from a little while ago. So that's my wife, my son Paul, my daughter Caroline. And I'm going to actually ask Caroline to go ahead and come on up here. Don't climb up. Give it up for Caroline, everybody. All right. So it's a little darker than I was anticipating. It's darker than it was during host last time. But I'm going to need some participation from the dads. Anybody like prizes? Hey-o! All right, so dads, I need you to raise your hands, dads. Just raise your hands if you're a dad. If you don't want to participate, that's fine. Now, keep it up. Keep it up if you have been a dad for more than 30 years. All right? More than 40 years. Anybody been dead? Okay. More than 45 years? More than 50 years? 60 years? They all go down? Anybody left? All right, let's go backwards. More than 65 years. 66? How many years have you been a dad? 63? Caroline, run that back to him. Give it up for a dad for 63 years. Make sure she sees you. A little something there for you. All right, so now we're going to go the other way. We want to find the newest dad in the room. So you can have other kids, but we're going to see who is losing a lot of sleep right now. So if you have a little one at home that is under 6 months, raise your hand. Where are you at, dads? All right, we got two of you, three of you, under 3 months. Okay, under 2 months. All right, so 2 months and how many weeks?
Like 2 weeks.
2 weeks, 2 months and 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, he wins? All right, give it up for Timothy. Now, Timothy gets the gift and a double shot espresso. There you go. Enjoy that, Timothy. All right, now, in my book, The Real Winner, raise your hand if you are a dad of more than three kids. More than three. More than four. More than five. How many kids? Six kids. All right, so we got a dad, six kids. Give him a round of applause. Give him the gift card and a pack of Red Bull. There you go. All right. Try to keep up with all of that. Just a little something fun there. Again, I absolutely love being a father. My daughter is amazing. I woke up this morning to finish the message, just kind of putting some things together, reading back through, praying. And my favorite part of being a dad are those uh-oh moments. She pulled her clothes out last night. She's like, Dad, it's your day. What do you want me to wear? I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. She comes to me this morning. Dad, here's the earrings. Which earrings do you want me to wear? She goes to put her earrings on, and she comes out. She goes, Dad. I'm like, yeah, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. What's up? She's like, my earrings went down the sink. Yes. So thankfully, God is awesome, and the message was prepared. And so I spent 20 to 30 minutes this morning being a plumber. So plumber dads, way to go, right? Multifaceted, lots and lots of roles that we have as dads. And so I'm excited to be here with you again. But as dads, we have this distinct and unique opportunity. We have a unique opportunity as fathers to represent our Father in heaven as best as anyone can to our children. And that's something that I do not take lightly. And I know that many of you, if not all of you, do not take that lightly either. But the reality is that when they, our children, call us dad, when they recognize us as their father, and then they start reading through Scripture that God is our father, they can't help. Our children can't help but start to put things together. Well, if my dad here talks to me like this, maybe my dad up there talks to me like that. If my dad here thinks about me this way, treats me this way, you fill in the blank, our children can't help but ponder the question, what does God think of me? Does he think of me like that? Does he think I'm a failure? Is he disappointed in me? Is he happy with me? Is he proud of me? So we have this unique responsibility, a unique opportunity to represent God the Father to our children. And in that relationship, we are also not only representing God the Father to them, but to everyone around us, to everyone who watches us father our children. That's the reality. That's where I find myself going over and over. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." So a question I ask myself as I think about the way I represent God to my children, the way I represent Jesus to the world around me, and this isn't just for dads. It's also for the rest of us, for the church. The question I ask myself is, how am I doing? Church, how are we doing imitating Christ to our children, to our wives, wives to your husbands, church to the world around us, to your coworkers, to strangers? How are you doing? That's a heavy question. Father's Day is always a bitter, sweet day for me. my dad passed away 7 years ago now. Come on, you can do it. I told you. My sister's out there. She's texting me, messing me up this morning. But my dad passed away 7 years ago, and I have great, great memories of him. I'll never forget the time that I would do Bo Clark basketball camp. Any Bo Clark basketball campers I saw? It's like the 35th anniversary now of Bo Clark. But I would do these basketball camps in town and every summer, and mom would sign me up for those. But then 1 year, I said to my dad, hey, I want to do the father-son camp. And I am in terrible shape right now. I got some good friends who are supporting me through this June fitness challenge. My shoulders are killing me, by the way. And I'm getting back there, but my dad was definitely in worse shape than me. And he could have easily said no, but out of love for me, that's the only thing I could think it would be, he came out and I got to sit on the sideline and watch my dad struggle up and down the court against these fathers who clearly played basketball at the Y like every single night. And he's huffing and puffing and he's sprawled out. I was pretty sure heart attack was coming on for him. But because of his love for me, he did that. And it was awesome. I remember canoeing for the first time. A lot of my middle school, high school students that are here from the youth group over the last few years, one of my favorite trips, and I think one of theirs was our Suwannee River trip. And for me, there we go, we got a whoop. And for me, that all started with my dad. The gentleman came into the restaurant that I work at, and he sat down, and I hadn't seen him in years. And he started talking about this canoe trip that I took when I was about like 9 or 10. Me and my dad, a bunch of other folks, and we canoed the Suwannee, and then we just camped on the riverbanks. And that's where that passion started for me. I remember Paul being born. Go ahead and put those pictures up here. Hey-o, look at that little kid. And I'm not talking about the babies. Yes, that is me, folks. That is. I was 12. No, I'm just kidding. So this is when my son Paul was born. I got my Timberland shirt and my cargo shorts. And then this is when Caroline was born with my flowing locks. My wife really liked that haircut. I wasn't about it. Not at all. You can take those down now. But when Paul was born, funniest thing. So we get rushed in. My wife had already been in labor. It's this quick thing. My dad worked for the sheriff's office, and so I'm sure he went, you know, lights and siren, and he was there before anybody. I didn't even know he was there. And things started to get a little weird while we were in the hospital room as people were like kind of like stopping at the door before they would come in, and I didn't really know what was happening. Catherine's, you know, in labor, and so I'm just focused in and trying not to pass out and all those fun things. And so finally somebody says, hey, there's somebody outside. What do you mean somebody's outside? Like, you just don't let people in when somebody's in labor unless he's in uniform. So my dad shows up in uniform, and the nurses obviously couldn't figure out what was going on. Like, is this a temporary release thing? Like, who are these people giving birth right now? And my dad's just standing there. He didn't come rushing in. What can I do? He wasn't all over the place. He just stood. And he was there for me. It was awesome. I have three amazing siblings because of him. My brother Dominic said he was going to be watching, but he became a father yesterday. I love you, bro. If you're not watching, I understand. Get some rest. It'll be on playback later. Are they getting a picture? Yeah. All right. Awesome. That's my sister. She keeps track of all of us, I can tell you that. But yeah, so congratulations to him. So excited. Love, love, love my siblings. But I have to be honest. Of all the great memories I do have of my dad, the last few years of his life were really, really hard. And I think many of you, because I know a lot of you, can understand that and have experienced difficult things. And like I said before, his life did end early. And so, yes, I have these memories, but I also have a lot of hurt. I have emptiness, brokenness. There are things about the way I act and react that are because of that. And so my goal, my hope, is that I leave my children with much, much more. And so I hope that today, that this message, we're just going to jump into some scripture real quick. I hope that today's message is an encouragement, that it's a challenge, and that it's an invitation. And for some of us, especially the dads in the room, I'm gonna speak directly to you for the most part, but this really is for all of us, that it's one of those, an encouragement, challenge, invitation, or it might be a combination of all of them or a couple of them. But before we get into the Word of God, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you so much for the way that you love us. God, I thank you that despite our circumstances, you are here for us, you are there for us, you have been there for us. God, I lift up the fathers in this room especially. Lord, I pray that they would experience you in mighty ways, that the weight that they feel, the questions that they have, God, that you would answer them. God, we invite you here today. God, may we hear from you through your word. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask a quick tech question. Can you get the countdown timer? Because I don't want to keep these people here forever. I have Father's Day lunch to go to, too. So I don't know if we can get that going. If not, that's all right. I will do my best to wrap it up. Well, we're going to dig into Romans today. The title of my message is I Am For You. So Pastor Josh reached out to me a couple months. We had a very important business lunch over some Carmelo's chicken wings. They're delicious, if you don't know. That's kind of our spot. We do this really cute thing, and I'll tell everybody, Josh, where we share a calzone and wings. We do little halvesies. It's pretty fun when we go there. It's our special thing together. He's probably hating that I announced that. But as we were talking, I just started putting notes in my phone, just hearing his heart and kind of what he thought could go on. And I appreciate him because he just says, you know, I trust you. You know, I know that you hear from God. And I'm like, okay, that's a big task. So I will I'll work on that. And what I felt like God told me was remind my children that I am for them. Because I think it is easy in this life to forget that God is actually for us. That he has good things for us. And so immediately, if you were to Google search, is God for me? The first verse that will typically come up is Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And so I knew that I wanted this verse in my message somehow, some way. It needed to fit in. Paul says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen, right? Yeah, amen. But I don't know about you, but I read that and I go, well, sometimes it feels like there's a lot of things against me. Sometimes it feels like there are a lot of people against me. Sometimes I feel like I am against myself. Why do I fall back into these patterns over and over? Right? Pastor Josh just finished the series on recycling, right? These cycles that go over and over and good cycles that we need to get ourselves into to rest and renew and restore. But on the other side of that are these cycles of failure and disappointment and hurt, right? And we find ourselves kind of going through these patterns. You know, I've shared the story of our life and, you know, Catherine and I and our marriage and just times where we have gone through struggles and it feels like they kind of come back year after year at the same times. Anybody else ever feel that? Like what is going on? So when I read this verse, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I was going to kind of go all over the place and pull some scriptures and get some points, but I really felt like God said, I want you to dig here. I want you to spend some time here, and you need to understand this. And I think as a church, as the children of God, I think we need to do that more often. It's easy to kind of pluck the verses that make us feel good, to pick the verses that kind of answers the question real quick, but how often do we take the time to really dig? And I'm not saying that I'm a Bible scholar or that this like is going to be some life-changing revelation to you, but I hope that for some of you it means something. And so I want to dig into this because this is interesting. When Paul is writing this to the Roman church, he's not writing to a church that's like thriving and Jesus, you know, died on the cross and now everybody's being saved and we're sharing things and life is good. He's actually writing to a church that is kind of in between two emperors, basically. One who has exiled the Christian people, the church, from their homes. They've been living in exile. He has died, and they're coming back, yay, to a new emperor who is all about persecution. So you can come back to your house, you can come back to where you live, but it is not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy if you call yourself a Christian. So I think, like us, the church at this time, hearing these words, if God's for us, who can be against us? They're probably going, all of Rome? Everybody? So we're not alone in this. So this is our problem. It often feels like there are things coming against us. I know God loves me. I know he's there for me. People tell me that all the time. They high-five me and they shake pom-poms, right? They used to give me free coffee, but oof, high school. I'm just kidding, right? All these great things, but there's always there's always that but. My health is failing. My finances are never where they need to be. My relationships are falling apart. I've got issues at work. There's always something wrong with the car. I can't stand my parents. They just don't understand me. I hate parenting. They just don't understand me. See how that works? Like back and forth. This is our problem. If God is for us, why does it feel like so much is against us? How do we try to understand this truth that God really is for us? How do we help our children? Dads, how do we help our children and those around us understand that God is really for us? And that is where I want to go today. I want to take a look at how Paul came to this conclusion. As we do this, I think we're going to end up with this picture of discipleship. Very church word. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. We see through this scripture how Paul is leading and caring for and shepherding the people of the Roman church. And this is just through a letter. This is just an encouraging letter that he's writing them. And today being Father's Day, my hope is that for us as dads here or listening, I got you, Dom, here and listening, that we walk away understanding that we have been called, like Paul, to preach this same message, that God is for us in our homes, to our families, to our children. They have to hear it from us. We are the primary disciple makers of our children. And for the rest of you, church, you're not left out of this. It's not just sit back and let them talk to the dads and be like, yeah, he told them. Church, this is our calling too, to those around us. You may not be a dad. You might be a single mom, and you're taking on both of those things. And I applaud you for that. That is hard. And I know there are a number of moms in here who are doing that and who invite other men into their children's lives, and I applaud you for that. And I continue to pray for so many of my little brothers and my little sisters who are in those family situations. And maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you're here and you're kind of kicking the tires and you're trying to figure out, like, what is this church thing all about? Does it actually make any sense? Is there anything in it for me? And I'm glad that you're here. But I will tell you, as I think about it, and my wife and I talk about this often, I don't know how I would do this life without Jesus. I don't, right? Scripture talks about life without Jesus basically being like shifting sands, right? You just never know where you're going to end up. There's always something new, this new tip, this new trick, this new book, this new. And just as you think you're getting something, your kid throws you a curveball and now you're lost again over and over. And so I want to bring us back to Scripture, and we're going to read through Romans and watch how Paul takes these like little stepping stones and he says, start here and work your way into this confidence. So it's on this side now. I have some props. So I was continuing with Pastor Josh. He had props all through the last one. I was like, all right, I'll bring some props. And I have a few of my favorite things, me and my children. So Paul, my 13-year-old, he just turned 13. We bought him a brand new golf set for his birthday. Pretty stoked on that. So, you know, it gives me that opportunity to really bond with him and tell my wife, we need to play golf a little bit more. Just we have that together. Thank you for laughing. You get it. Yeah. But we do have fun. So we've got the putter there. But my daughter and I, we love putt-putt. I had Catherine ask them without me, like, you know, what are some of your favorite things about dad? And putt-putt was high on the list. So we've got our putter. That's actually my grandfather's old putter. I actually got his Bible for today, too, which is pretty awesome. Pretty excited about that. So I got that there. I was a youth pastor, so yeah, I still play video games. That's what we do. And Paul and I have an awesome time doing that. And then these other two represent my daughter. And these, this is like that softer side. I don't know if I really have a hard side, but like that softer side. We love playing games and laughing together. This is called Kids Create Absurdity. If you have little ones, it's great. And then this is really special to me. This is the Sound of Music. Any Sound of Music fans in here? Where are you at? Yeah, that's right. Were there any guys? Other guys? Nope. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Love the Sound of Music. I remember watching it from when I was so young, and I'm proud to announce that I love that movie. And Carolyn and I love musicals. I love watching The Greatest Showman with her. I would go watch Sing and Sing 2, you know, the new animated ones. I'd watch that over and over with her if I could. And so I just have a few things here kind of representing the things we love to do, the things that we enjoy doing together. And I'm going to come back to those in a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says this: physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So these things that I have with my children, right, these ways that I connect with them, whether it's golf or playing games or watching musicals, right, whatever it might be, they are good things. But the reality is that all of those things are going to fade. My children are going to grow up. Their interests are going to change. Eventually, I won't be here, right? There are things that are going to shift. And so as we think about that question, how am I doing imitating Christ? How am I doing passing on to my children that is God, that is really for them? You see, Paul knew that this training was good. Paul knew that godliness was a good thing. Right? Teaching our kids how to manage a bank account or work, right? Have a job, hold down a job, be respectful, like all those things. Like those are all good things, and I'm not discounting those things, right? But at some point, our children, they might lose their job. They might get fired for no reason, right? We can play golf now, but if something happens to Paul and he can't swing a club, or heaven forbid, walk, right? I watched one of his friends, one of Caroline's friends, she was in a four-wheeler accident. We've been praying for her, and I watched her walk through her front door on Facebook yesterday, and many of you know her, right? It was a beautiful moment and continuing to pray for her. But there are a lot of things that we take for granted that we might lose, that they may not have. And so what am I doing as a father? What are we doing as parents? What are we doing for the world around us to help them see that even in those moments, God is for us? And so we're going to go back to the end of Romans chapter 7, verse 22. And it says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So this first point, fill in the blank, if you're on the notes, I know some of you use the Bible app and you take notes, and it'll be on the screen behind me. But the first thing Paul does, very interestingly, is he's pointing out this idea of sin. He's saying, hey, there is brokenness in the world. And it's not just in the world, but because I am a part of the world, this sin is also in me. There are things that I want to do that I don't want to do. There's a battle for right and wrong and good and evil. Right? I mean, you've heard it before. I mean, just ask yourself, what's it easier to do? Fail or succeed? Pretty sure it's easier. I can fail real well. Succeeding, I have to put effort and work and time and sacrifice. Not bad things. But it is a lot easier in a broken world to just go along with it. I find myself falling back into temptations. And we can try harder, but that only lasts for a while. We can hold on tighter, but our grip will fail. So what do we do? As we continue to read, we see that God offers us hope, which is our next point. Chapter 8, verse 1, continuing on, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." There is hope. You want to get away from those vicious cycles in your life? You want something better? You want something better for your children? God offers us hope that there is no condemnation, that things don't have to be bad. Right? There's a way of the world, and then there is the way of the Spirit. And our next point, continuing right on to verse 11, our next point, that we have a choice. Yes, the world is broken. Yes, it feels like God is not actually for us because of it. But there is hope, and you have a choice. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. We have a choice. We can get ourselves out of that sin mentality, out of those vicious cycles, into those healthy cycles like Pastor Josh talked about. And it involves following Jesus, choosing Jesus, not living according to our own ways. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit." So from there, we see this identity, which is our next point. Verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." When we recognize this identity, it's a beautiful pattern that Paul's laying out here for us. When we have our identity, when we know that we are children of God, it gives us new perspective. We see the world and the circumstances around us in a new way. Verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So we come from our identity. We have this new perspective. And this new perspective, despite the circumstances we're in, gives us a new confidence. Verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You see, when we have a biblical perspective, we recognize that this world is not it. This life we are living is not the end. The troubles, the trials, the heartaches, the brokenness, this isn't it. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's hard, right? We don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we cannot see. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Our choice to follow Jesus, our choice to introduce our children and others to Jesus has eternal consequences. John 16:33, Jesus says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me." Here on earth, you will have trials. And you will have sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And so this confidence that we have in Jesus, that God is for us, that he is a good father, leads us to victory. We can offer our children victory, that despite the way I mess up, or my wife slips up, if she ever does, despite the way the world treats them, there is victory. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus." So church, I want to end here and just walk us through those stepping stones that Paul lays out for us, right? It is important for us to understand that there is sin and brokenness in the world, but that there is hope. And that hope is in Jesus. And having hope in Jesus isn't enough, right? If I wanted to go and sit on that table and I sat here and hoped that it would hold me up, that table is not going to hold me up until I actually give myself over to that table. And that's where our choice comes in. We have a choice to follow Jesus. And that choice offers us identity. It offers our children, dads. It offers our children an identity. And there is an identity crisis in our nation right now, in our lives, in myself. Who am I? Who did God create me to be? And when we know whose we are, we have our perspective. And it offers us confidence. And it offers us victory. And so before we go into our salvation prayer, I want to end with this. So my son and I love listening to Christian rap, like Pastor Josh. It's one of our, other than sharing calzones and chicken wings, we love Christian rap. And in one of the songs, Paul and I were riding down the road the other day, and in between the verses, there's a pastor who's preaching, and it's heavy, and it's awesome. And I took a second to listen to the words, and I want to share that with you, specifically with the men in the church today, but I think it applies to everybody. It says this: "Manning up is not just managing your temptations. It's not just managing your sin. That's not what it means to be a man. Because you can try harder and you can do better. You can hang on longer. That's not manning up. Manning up is our ability to lay down all of our effort, all of our trying, all of our strength, and say that I trust in Jesus. I trust in his perfection. I trust in his power. I trust in his resurrection because he's the only one that can get me through this. And he's the only one that can make me free. That is what I want for my children. That's what I want for my brothers, my sister, my family, my friends. That's what I want for the world, to be set free in the name of Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity to be set free. I want to give you an opportunity to make that choice to follow Jesus today. Remember, today I wanted to be an encouragement. I wanted it to be a challenge. I wanted it to be an invitation. And maybe it's a little bit of everything. Where are you? Are you doing well as a parent? Are you doing well as a dad? Let me encourage you. Keep fighting the fight. Maybe it's a challenge. Maybe you realize, like me, I'm failing in certain areas. I need to step up. But it's not try harder. It's try Jesus. Or maybe today's an invitation. Maybe it's the first day where you're saying, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I don't want to do this on my own. I need your help, Jesus. So church, you know how we do it? Repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, would you stand? We're gonna worship God one more time together before we head out.